Well, it's good to see everybody tonight. We're in session 16 of our study of Taking Time to Quiet Your Soul, written by Jim Berg. And I trust this message and these messages have been a help to you as they have been to me. As we think about the truth that we are studying. And tonight we will continue. You have turned to Hebrews chapter 12. Just a quick recap before we dive into tonight's message is that we have been studying the past few weeks on the subject of forgiveness. Number one, seeking forgiveness from God for our sin and ways we've broken that fellowship. Secondly, we've talked about how we find reconciliation with man. When it's our fault, or perhaps when it's their fault. Either way, God has laid out a model for us to follow in the Word of God, to do everything we can to live peaceably with all men and to seek reconciliation for His glory. Because that does help people understand the power of the cross. When we see that reconciliation in our life, because it speaks of God's love for us and His forgiveness to us. But one of the things is for sure that I know all of you have already thought about this. I know I have. That as you think about subjects such as forgiveness, especially when someone's offended and offended us, or even forgiving ourselves for something, you have these things that you're wondering as you face them. How can I do this? I mean, I know some of you here in this room are perhaps right in the midst of something that you're asking yourself, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. And you know what? That's a real feeling and a real emotion. And tonight, we're going to look at how we are to accomplish the task that God has given us. How we are to accomplish the commandments and to fulfill them and to obey them as God has called us. And that's where we're going to see in session 16, qualifying for divine help. Qualifying for divine help. The honest believer must recognize their need for divine intervention. Would you say amen right there? Every single day, we need God's divine intervention. And tonight, we're going to talk about a word that describes perfectly God's divine intervention. And that is the word grace. God's grace. Notice in our Bibles, in chapter 12 of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse number 15. It says here, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I like what Charles Ryrie said in his study Bible notes when he about this verse of verse 15. He said, failing to keep pace with what the grace of God wants to do in our lives can result in bitterness in us, which causes trouble for others. And so what we need to recognize is the fact that whatever we're facing today, or whatever we faced yesterday, or whatever we're going to face tomorrow, God's grace is sufficient. It is there. And it's the only way that we will get the victory. Notice the Word of God says, also, if you flip over just a few pages, go past James, you go to Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. It's probably just a few pages there in your Bible. Notice 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice 1 Peter chapter 5. And then notice with me verse 5. The second part of verse 5 is really what we're looking at, but it says here, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, that's all encompassing, all of you be subject one to another. And notice what it says. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. That word grace there is what we're going to talk about tonight with the time we have. My goal is to cover point A and B in your outline. And we'll pick up next Wednesday with C and D. But tonight, let's think for a moment about this divine intervention. There have been many definitions to grace, I'm sure, which many are very good and appropriate. Some have defined grace as God's unmerited favor. That's true. Some have even used the acrostic, if you will, for grace. Stands for God's grace. Excuse me, I got it written down here. I can't read my own writing. God's riches. Thank you. Terrible handwriting. God's riches at Christ's expense, which is also true. But the fact of the matter is, if you wanted to give a more encompassing definition, a general definition of grace, it is simply this. It is God's divine power. It is His divine enablement. It is help from God. That's what it is. And the verses that you see listed there in your notes will give us some biblical examples of that. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how do we put our hands around or our minds around, if you will, this idea of grace. And it's not an easy one to describe because it's so awesome. And but one of the things that happened to me reminds me of when I was a teenager. I was riding with a couple of my friends, and I was in the back seat, and my friend was driving, and another friend was in the passenger. And we were driving out at night, and we probably were not being careful. We were probably being reckless, which I'm pretty sure I know we were. But during that night, we were driving on some back roads, and my friend lost control of the Jeep, and there was a very steep embankment, okay, that went right off, and it stopped with some big pine trees down at the bottom. And when we lost control, my friend swerved, went down this embankment, and when we were driving, I know we had at least to be going 45 miles per hour. I'm being conservative there, maybe even a little faster, but nevertheless, it was serious, going to be serious injury for all of us. But we went down that embankment. And I, as much as I'm standing here now, I don't understand how this happened, what I'm about to tell you. When we got down and hit right where those trees were, the Jeep stopped completely, and we all stayed completely in place. Now, none of us were wearing our seatbelts. And I cannot explain that, what I just told you, and I was not saved at the time. If I would have died in that accident, I'd be in hell right now. But nevertheless, when I think about that, I think about the fact that that was some divine power right there. We couldn't even talk to each other. We were just so amazed about what had happened. We could not explain it. Looking back on it now, I believe, you know, that verse where we are, where we entertain angels unaware sometimes, and there are times in our life where they are guardians of those who are going to trust Christ. I believe that may have been one of those situations, but nevertheless, I do see that in my life as God's divine intervention. And it was something that was amazing. And you know, when we went to, right before we were going to hit those trees, I don't remember much, but I just remember embracing, just ready for impact. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I just remember embracing myself, thinking, oh no. But then when I didn't move, it was just simply amazing to me. And what I want to encourage you tonight as we think about this grace is you may be going down a steep hill right now in your life spiritually. There may be some things going on in your life right now, but can I tell you that you need to embrace God's grace? Because He is going to uphold you and keep you and protect you through whatever storm you're currently going through, whatever trial that you're going through, whatever time you're going through, as far as whether it be forgiveness. And folks, in the next few weeks, by God's help, we're going to be looking at the subject of overcoming anxiety, fear, anger, bitterness, despair, discouragement, lust, sinful habits. And none of those things will be overcome apart from the grace of God. God's divine intervention. That's what we're looking at tonight. Number one, what is grace? Well, we've talked about that. Let's look at a couple of examples of the verses. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 9:8. Would you go over there with me? 2 Corinthians. Just flip back in your New Testament there. And keep going back towards the Gospels. And then you'll get to 1 and 2 Corinthians. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And before I read the verse, I just want to expound a little bit on my illustration. You understand my point of telling you that was without God's grace, we're doomed. It is daily intervention that's going to protect our lives spiritually. And we can trust it. Notice what he says in 2 Corinthians 9:8. He says, "And God is able to make all what? All grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Now, that word abound there is talking about because of God's grace. When he says all grace is going to abound toward you for the purpose of you being able to be who you are, and then also for you to be able to do what God wants you to do. Would you write this down? Notice in your figure, you see there at the top of your outline, there's a little figure there. Notice where it says it has an arrow coming from God with grace imparting unto His children, the believer, and then it goes down to God's will. And underneath you see sanctification and service. Out to the side there you should write, for sanctification, God's grace enables you to be who you ought to be. Be who you ought to be. That's sanctification. And besides service you should write, God's grace will enable you to do what you ought to do. Do you see the difference? Sanctification is God's grace to enable me to be who I ought to be in the will of God. And then God's amazing grace enables me to do what I ought to do for the glory of God. And with God's grace, we can do those things completely in His will and for His glory. But then there is a contrary thought here that wants to go against God's grace. And that is the temptations that Satan will try to bring our way. Satan's will. He wants to contradict the grace of God. He wants to rob us of that. And to deter us from going God's way. And so I want us to remember, as we think about God's grace, we have two choices in life. We have God's will and Satan's will. Would you say that with me, church? We have two choices in life. God's will, Satan's will. Every day. And we can only choose God's will by God's grace. So Jim Burr gave the illustration of, imagine yourself in a hallway and you come up to two doors. One on your left, one on your right. One on the right is God's will. The one on the left is Satan's will. And when you come to that doorway, you got to make a choice. And every day we are making that decision. Now, if we hesitate on the door that God has for us to walk through by His grace, whatever it may be, God's going to enable us at that point to fulfill His will by the choice to walk through and to trust that grace. But if we hesitate, Satan's going to open that door and he's going to lure us something to bring us into his will. And that's why the verse said, unless we fail of the grace of God. What is that talking about? It simply means if we fail to choose the grace of God. And a lot of times we fail in the Christian life because we fail to choose God's will, whatever it may be, however difficult it truly is. 1 Corinthians 15:10. You're in Corinthians. Can you flip back just one book there? Notice chapter 15. This is 1 Corinthians. Notice with me verse 10. Notice Paul's testimony about grace. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Do you see that, church? There's that parallel again in verse 10. There's the sanctification, I am what I am, by the grace of God. And then he says, I've labored more abundantly than they all. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. That is the service. He is able to do what he ought to do for the glory of God. I want to say tonight, I believe you know this already, but you're only here tonight by the grace of God. I am here preaching tonight only by the grace of God. And we see that Paul demonstrated this with his own testimony. He took no credit for what he was able to do for Christ. He took no credit for who he was in Christ. In fact, he said very clearly, all that I've done is a big pile of dung. That is what I have done. But who I am in Christ is by His grace. Notice Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Would you look over there with me? Just flip again towards the right. You'll pass Galatians, Ephesians, and then you'll run right into Philippians. Notice Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. Notice what the Word of God says. For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. So you see what that is teaching there. For it is God which worketh in you both to will. That's creating a desire. It is God that puts the desire in your heart to do right daily. That's the Holy Spirit of God imparting that desire and that thought in your mind. And then we see, as he explains it here, and to do is giving you the power. So God gives us the desire and He gives us the power. But what I do too many times, and I like to admit, is that God will give me that desire, but I choose my own desire. And because of that, I miss out on the grace of God. I miss out on God demonstrating His power and helping me overcome whatever it is I'm dealing with. That supernatural intervention that the Lord wants to bring in my life, in your life. But number two, and let me go to this one. Letter B, we see here, why does God give grace? Why does God give grace? Well, number one, as it has there in your notes, God gives grace to enable us to resist in times of temptation. That word, I'll just read that verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. You can mark it there, but it says this in the second part of the verse. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace did much more abound. So, again, number one, why does God give us grace? Well, it is to enable us to resist in times of temptation. This is basically to resist against Satan's will. And don't forget, that's why James said, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God first, and then secondly, what? What was that? Resist who? The devil. So there's that submission to God's will. That's where the grace comes in. And then there's that resistance to Satan trying to open up another door for me and say, come on in here, buddy. This one's better. You know, he's always trying to tell me that his way is better. It's like he tried to tell Eve and he tries to tell everybody, my way's better. And the only way that we'll be able to discern that is and be able to follow through with what God's wanting us to do is by His grace. We need to pray for grace daily. Amen, church? Pray for grace daily. Cry out for it. God, give me grace today. If you follow Paul's letters, Ephesians, Philippians, Thessalonians, and there are several others, Colossians, notice what he prays at the very beginning of his letter. Many times he will make this statement, grace be unto you. Grace, what is he talking about there? He's talking about, number one, I pray God's enabling power be in your life, that you choose it and that it empowers you to do what he's called you to do. So, you know, in this life and this subject of the study here is taking time to quiet your soul, we face a lot of noises, don't we? I mean, even right now, as I preach, you're facing the noise of your pastor, and the noise of preaching, but also we hear the furnace, and I hear something out there, and a little something back there, and some of you are snoring, but that's not too loud. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But honestly, we can turn that heat off if anybody has control over that. But nevertheless, there are a lot of noises. But I don't know about y'all, I think all of you have experienced this, but have you noticed how hard it is to hear someone when we have a large group in the fellowship hall? You try to sit at a table with somebody, and you got 100 people in that fellowship hall talking all simultaneously, you got to be right up on that person to try to hear them clearly. You know, you got to scoot in, you know. And try to hear as well as you can. It reminds me of that story where this couple had been married for 70 years and they were in a nursing home together, assisted living together. And the man just wanted to be sweet to his wife and put his wheelchair over there and said, honey, I love you. And she looked at him and said, what? He said, honey, I love you. And she said, huh? He wrote and said it one more time. Honey, I love you. She looked at him and said, I'm tired of you too. Sometimes we don't hear what we should hear. All right? And all, with all honesty, there are times in our Christian life where we hear a lot of voices. And if we're not careful, it will drown out the voice of God. And we want to concentrate on God's voice. He speaks through His Word. He speaks by His Spirit. And there are going to be a lot of noises, but I know one thing's for sure. By God's grace, we can hear His voice. And we can be discerning when it comes that way, because God's way is divine help, but Satan's way is debilitation. It will debilitate us. It will weaken us. But God's way will strengthen us. And God will just pour in His grace. It's not like this little bottle of water here, even if it's full. It's not like if I was thirsty, you know, got this little, I'm thankful for it, but these little 8-ounce bottles of water. You know, these little tiny things, I mean, you think, man, it helps quench the thirst. But, you know, God's grace, if I can give you just an illustration that's not perfect, would be like taking the water hose out there and turning that spigot on and just letting it come out. and not stopping, leaving it on, just a continuous flow of water. And even more so, we could hook up one of these fire hydrants wherever it is, and pull that hose in, and all that water coming out. I mean, however you want to envision it, church. I want to tell you, when God gives His grace, He just doesn't give us little spoonfuls. That's not the way God's grace works. He's not just like, here, take you a little 8-ounce serving here. No! He pours it on him. The Word of God says it's abounding. It's full. It's overflowing. And that is saying, oh, I will make all grace abound toward you. And that's where we decide as His children, you know what? I'm going to take God's way because His grace is sufficient. And I am what I am by the grace of God. And then in closing of this second point, notice with me number 2, God gives grace to enable us to rejoice and endure in times of trouble. You see, the verse that it gives there is 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, which says, "For this I besought the Lord thrice." He's talking about the trial that He gave him. Why? So He said, "That it may depart from me." Can I translate that for you into Brinson language? Lord, please get this out of my life. Anybody ever been there? Lord, could you just remove this from me? Well, and God said unto me, He said, and He said unto me, "My grace," that divine intervention, "is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I love what Jim Berg said right here. He says, he did not remove the trial, He increased the grace. You gotta write that down. He did not remove the trial, He increased the grace. And that's what God's going to do. Sometimes He's not going to take out of those thorns out of our life. But folks, thank God He will pour in us in abundance His marvelous and rich and supernatural grace for our everyday, whatever we're facing, whatever we're looking at. Paul said, "Take it away." God said, "No, Paul, but I am going to give you something even better. I'm going to give you my grace." And may the Lord help us tonight to understand and to receive God's grace in our lives, to enable us to resist in times of temptation, and also enable us to rejoice and endure in times of trouble. Next week, we're going to talk about what happens when we fail of the grace of God, and how do we get grace from God. So please keep your outline for next week, and keep that with you, and we'll pick back up. Okay, let's pray.